I don't know.
Great, this is Caroline. Yeah, the mingle break, they're being much too friendly.
Yeah,
Caroline.
They're mingling a lot.
They're mingling.
They're like mingling.
This is Caroline. Now, Caroline, you're also one of our mission partners.
I am, yes.
Where have you been based?
I've been based in La Paz in Bolivia, in the middle of South America, for 5.5 years.
Many people here will not have been to La Paz because it's not a major holiday destination.
No, not yet.
What's it like?
It's high up. It's like 13,000 feet, so sometimes it's hard to breathe and you feel nauseous. But it's a city in a big canyon, and it's kind of up on the high plain. There's another city called El Alto, which is where I've really been working, which is the poorest city in Bolivia. It's a Latin city, very different to here, sunnier normally.
Developed? Is it wealthy? Is it poor? What's it like?
It's the capital city, so it's fairly developed, but Bolivia is the poorest country in South America. There's a big divide between rich and poor, so the rich people live in the city. In El Alto, that's a very poor city, so it's a huge contrast. And in the rural areas as well, there's a huge poverty.
And what have you been doing there?
When I first went, I didn't have a clue. God said go, so I went. And he guided me every step, which was to set up a community transformation program in El Alto on the very edge. And that involves basically we have, it's a discipleship program, teaching children and their families that they were made by God in his image, that they have a plan and a purpose. Because they think they were born poor, they'll die poor, there's nothing they can do about it. But as we're going to hear tonight, our thoughts have consequences. They affect what we are, who we are. So changing their way of thinking so that they do know about God, they believe in him, it's changing their lives and their situation. So now they're getting out of poverty, which is great to see.
Fantastic. Now, you're back here, and it's kind of all changed, isn't it? What's mm-hmm. next for you now? What's happening now?
I've just come back from Bolivia. God confirmed me last year that this year's the time to return to the UK. So I'm a bit like when I got to Bolivia, I don't have a clue. But I've learned that that's fine. And so I'm going to be seeking God, what he has for me. But I'm really excited to be in the UK and that that's where God wants me to be. So I'll be seeking what God has for me in the UK.
Are you going to keep any connections with Bolivia?
Yeah, I'm going to continue kind of very part-time, raising funds for the project so it can continue and continue doing the updates for supporters here, so I won't cut off complete contact.
Brilliant. Shall we pray for Caroline and then she's going to bring God's word to us? Father, thank you for Caroline, for bringing her to us, for the richness of the experience she's had in the last 6 years in Bolivia. And as she speaks now, Lord, we pray that you would inspire us to serve you and to follow you even to the ends of the earth. Amen.
Thank you, Henry. I'm just going to point this towards me. Is that okay? Great. Okay, hi. So how are you doing tonight?
Great.
Really? Well, I'm doing better than you then. How are you doing tonight? Really good, thanks Ryan. Well, I'm doing really good. As I said, I'm really excited to be back in the UK and I'm really excited to be here with you guys tonight. As I've been preparing to speak tonight, I feel God's given me a message which I've been really excited about for me, so I hope that it's impactful for you. Can we have the slides up? Oh no, that's not good. Well, I'll just ignore that and I'll carry on. The verse that we're going to be looking at as they get that back up is from Proverbs, and it's how we think in our heart, so we are. Yeah? So how you think, so you are. Okay, so our thoughts, we're thinking all the time, consciously and unconsciously, and all those thoughts have consequences. Okay? Has anyone here seen the film The Iron Lady with Margaret Thatcher? Yeah, well, there was a quote in that, which I'll have to remember off by heart, which was something like, watch your thoughts, because they become your words. Watch your words, for they become your actions. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. What you think, we become. Yeah? So They're very important, as I said. We're thinking all the time, consciously and unconsciously, but they will have big consequences. So even without thinking about what we're thinking, there is going to be a consequence. Now, I did have another quote, but as it's up there, I can't remember that one off by heart. We'll see it later. But basically, with our thinking, there's two tracks. So you're thinking, oh, here it is. Great. Thanks, Anita. So as I was saying, as you think, as a man thinking in his heart, so we are. This is the Margaret Thatcher quote from The Iron Lady. And if we go to the next slide, we'll see this quote. This is from Jen Miller. She's a minister in America. And she says, your every single thought leads to a decision, whether conscious or not. Even a non-decision is a decision by default. Your every single decision leads to an action or non-action. Your every thought, decision, and action or non-action influences and directly impacts yourself and all others you come into contact with, either for good, according to God's principles, or for bad, according to the principles of sin and evil at work in our lives. So our thoughts matter. They're important, and they have consequences. If we go to the next slide, as I was saying, there's two tracks. Either your thoughts are going to be aligned with God's thoughts, they're going to agree with those, or they won't be God's thinking. So there's like two tracks, God's thinking, not God's thinking. And if we go to the next slide, as I said, all our thoughts have consequences. So God's ways and God's thoughts shape and influence you towards God's best for you. And God's ways that are contrary to God's thoughts and God's ways, they lead you in a different direction, which is against or away from God's best for you. Now, we've got the Bible, right? I've got mine here. You've probably all got yours in your phones. I haven't got that yet because I've been away, but I will. We have this Bible, and can you imagine if everyone in the UK lived according to this Bible, if everything they thought, everything they said, everything they did was what was said and done in here? Can you imagine what it would be like in the UK? I give you the answer, perfect. Because God's ways are perfect, right? Okay. Do we live like that? Not yet. We're getting there, maybe. Well, I don't know if we are. I might be going away from that. When you became a Christian, did you suddenly think God's ways exactly as God's thinks? Or since then, have you kind of thought in ways which aren't really God's ways? Because if you tell me that you've thought since then how God thinks, that's probably a lie, which is against these ways. So as we've been getting to know God each day, I'm sure you all read the Bible each day. Yeah, we have to do our quiet times, right? Because we have to tick it off. No. We have to do our quiet times, read this Bible so that it becomes part of us. So we get it into our hearts, into our minds. So that's what comes out. The Bible says in Matthew that what's in our heart comes out of our mouths. So you can tell what's in your heart, what's in your mind, by what comes out of your mouth. So you can't really hide it. So it's important that we're reading our Bible, not just to tick it off and say we've done it, but because it changes us, and therefore it changes situations, it changes life. So it's obviously important that we read this. As we become Christians, during our Christian lives, probably we're reading it more and more as we see the impact in us, and it'll change us, and we'll continue to do that. But apart from when we do it thinking God's way, sometimes we might be thinking through a human filter, which may be made up from our culture or your experiences or your childhood or your family or the current situation or circumstance you're in. For example, what you think about who God is or who you are or about other people will be formed and shaped by these different things. For example, what does culture say about you or who you should be? Or what does culture say is right or wrong to say? For example, as I've just put up there, culture is basically the way we do things around here. And I put up a little British flag. We see those a lot these days here. The way we do things in Britain are very different from the way they do things in Bolivia. Now, is everything that we do in Britain biblical? No. Neither in Bolivia, but we see those differences. In Bolivia, for example, if I'm asking, if I'm looking for someone, what does this person look like? Describe them to me. They may say, 5'5", fat, dark hair. And when they say fat, I think, I'm embarrassed. Kind of say, you can't say that. But to them, it's not an emotive word, so it's not negative, because they haven't got this culture of, you've got to be skinny. So to them, it's just a descriptive work. So there's plenty of differences. But what we need to be doing is the more that our culture as a group of people and individuals align to this word, we will be going on the right track towards God's best for us. Right? Okay. You have the slides back. Thank you. Can we go back to the other one, 1 sec? Thank you, yeah. Sometimes we accept culture as gospel. Okay? So we've grown up, if you've grown up in this British culture, that will sort of define who you are, how you act, how you think. Our characters may be fairly similar. Okay? As we act and speak as British people, will be similar. In Bolivia, they act in different ways, but kind of similar for their own kind of group. And sometimes we accept, you know, our thoughts can be very subconscious, and we accept things from culture which aren't necessarily from the Bible. Because they're so natural to us, because we've been taught by family, friends, culture, we accept them as gospel, but they're not actually biblical. And that can be very subtle. It can be very difficult to analyze your own thinking and see where what you're thinking isn't actually in this book. So you think you're doing okay, but there's stuff under the surface maybe that we haven't noticed. Now, if we go to the next slide, I put as adults, sometimes we get stuck in our own ways, you know. In Bolivia, I heard that we form our values and our principles by the age of 10. So it's quite hard to change them after that. Therefore, working with children can be very powerful because there aren't any children here, right? No? Okay. Because they believe anything, right? Yeah? Like Santa? That's why I had to check. Yeah, covers it. Thanks. Yeah. Goodbye. Okay. Fairies. They believe a lot. About a man being in a whale's tummy for 3 days. About a man dying, being dead for 3 days and coming back to life. They'll believe it all. So you tell them, and they'll take it all in. And I've got this verse at the bottom. Train or instruct a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it. Because when we get older, we get stuck in our ways, right? The problem is, we get stuck in our own ways, our ways. And we need to check their God's ways, not just our ways. So with children, anyone here a parent? Great stuff. You teach them about God, his ways and stuff? Yeah? Someone? Yeah, I'm sure you are. Great stuff. Because that's forming these people. If we want to change our lives as individuals or our culture, we need to be changing the way that we think. And I will give us a bit more hope. It is possible for adults to change the way we think. But we'll go on to the next slide, because I don't know what I was going to say. Okay, yeah. So a few questions for you. How are you? How are you doing? You can have a think. How have you been over the last few days, maybe few weeks, few months, these couple of years? How's life been for you? How are you doing? One thing I've noticed, you know when when like teenagers are growing up, I think one of the annoying things for adults to say to them is, oh, haven't you grown, you know? And they're like, oh, obviously. Well, being away for like 5 years, like the 12-year-olds are 18 or nearly 19, and I say, whoa, haven't you grown, like the annoying person, but still do it. Another thing I noticed last year, when I was back between October and December, was conversation. Because I've been out of the country, I understand there's been a few struggles, difficulties, crises going on, right? Yeah. And so I noticed the conversation last year, which wasn't the same when I was back before, was negative. Nearly every conversation, I'd say, how are you doing? It was negative, and I hadn't seen that before, and so it really struck me. So I was just wondering how you're doing. Then another thing, so how are you? And the next question, what are you? Okay? What are you? What have you become in your life? And are you happy with that? Like when we're children, I don't know what your childhood dreams were, but we have imaginations there. We can dream big dreams and we kind of think what we want to be when we grow up. Now, did that happen to you? Did you become what you wanted to become, what you dreamed? Or did life happen and you grew up and became a realist? Coming back, I'm 31. I was going to say just turned 30, that's a lie. 31. And coming back, some of my friends who have kind of similar age have said to me, I don't know what happened. I'm 30 and, they're fine, happy, married with kids, but they were like, I thought there was supposed to be more. Like, wasn't there more? It's like life just happened. And yesterday I was at a football game, Women's FA Cup final, and there was a T-shirt with John Lennon's quote on, which says, "Life is what happens as you're busy making plans." And that couldn't often happen. Life happens. But have you become what you know inside you were born to become? Have you become everything that God's created you to be? Or do you have this feeling that there could be something more? So the two questions, how are you doing your kind of current or situation, and over more of a long term, what have you become? Now, if you look at that and you think there's something you'd like to change, it's a situation you'd like to change that just isn't going well, or you haven't become all that you think that you wanted to become, go back to your thinking. Go back to your thoughts. In situations, as I mentioned earlier, our human filters can affect the way we think. And a part of that is our situation. The situation we're in, or the circumstances, will affect the way we think about God, about ourselves, and about others. And as we've seen, the way we think will affect our actions and blah, blah, blah. The problem with that is that God doesn't change. What I've noticed, a few of the comments since I've been back this year and what I've heard last year is, with the crisis and things, maybe can't get a job, and people have said, I think maybe, you know, God's not with me. Or God's not giving me everything I deserve. And I can look at that and say, well, he didn't, because you deserve death and he's taken that for you. So technically, right. Is God still with you? Well, Jesus promised he'll be with you to the end of the age. So I think he still is. I mean, I think power can go out of you when you're not in obedience with him. But is he still with you? I think he is. So the importance of really getting the Bible, getting the truth into us is really important, because Jesus says you will have difficulties in this life. You will have difficulties in this life. And often, if we're not prepared for them, for when they come, we're not expecting them. And so then we say, what's God doing? We question him. And then we think, well, that's not right. And maybe people will leave church, or they'll go away from him, from not having that correct understanding. So if you can prepare yourself before these troubles come, because they will, then you can have the right attitude maybe in that, and that will help get you through. I was thinking about Peter in Acts today. Peter and John, and it says, I think it's Acts, end of Acts 5. And it says how, I mean, they'd just been flogged and things because they were talking about Jesus. And it says, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. How would you leave if you've just been flogged? If you're being flogged, what are you going to think of God at that moment? Where are you? Why are you doing this to me? Those kind of things. Or are you going to be rejoicing? If you're going to be rejoicing, excellent. I want to be on your team. They were rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that is Jesus. So not only did they rejoice, but they carried on preaching Jesus' name, knowing that it will probably happen again. So they must have known something before that happened to be able to come out rejoicing. If our attitude isn't right, or our thoughts aren't right, and we go into problems or crisis, often that can help you, or force you to question your thoughts. Maybe question God, and then you'll question things you didn't have to question before. So trials and sufferings, they can be good, because they force us to think and force us to understand. If we go to the next slide. So we know that we need to get the right perspective on how to get that. Well, three obvious ways we know. If we want to be full of this, we have to read it, right? So if you want to be influenced more by God and his ways, and therefore fill yourself with that, you need to be reading it. I don't know what your time balance is, of how much you spend in the Bible and how much you spend in other things, work, TV, all that stuff, where the balance is. Maybe you spend loads of time in the Bible and hardly ever time outside. Or maybe it creeps the other way. I don't know what your kind of balance is. But that will reflect in your life. Okay, so I don't know what your Bible reading is now, but I can guarantee that if you up it, it will help you. Or if you continue what you're doing, enjoy it. It's a good thing. Again, not just this ticking off thing. So we know reading the Bible is a great thing to do. Also praying, asking God for revelation. Like we said, there's some things we don't even notice. The culture stuff. Ask him to point out those thoughts that aren't on his track. Also praying in tongues. I found that immensely helpful. In the Bible it says that God will reveal mysteries to us. And I always thought, what kind of mysteries? Can't be mysteries. That's because they're mysteries. And as I've been praying in tongues, you know, decent amount of time, I find that God reveals stuff to me about himself, about me, about other people or situations. Okay, if we can move to the next slide. So how can we change our way of thinking? We've got those things. What does the Bible say? This is from 2 Corinthians 12, 5. It says, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Simple, right? Just do what it says. Okay? Do you do that? Okay. Okay, so we've got two sort of commands there, two imperatives. One, take captive. What does it mean to take something captive? What would happen if I took Henry captive? Okay, we'll go to the next slide. We'll have a little look. Okay, well, a captive is one such a prisoner of war who's forcibly confined or enslaved. Being captive, being held in bondage or enslaved, being kept under constraint or control, confined. Okay, so our thoughts shouldn't be allowed to just run wild. But generally they do, because we're thinking the whole time. But we should take them captive, confine them, enslave them, okay? And then decide what to do with them. Like if you saw this big scary tiger running around the streets of London, what would you do? Or what do you think? That's not quite right, is it? Seeing a tiger. So you'd probably run away. But apart from that, a good idea would be to try and confine it in a cage or something, and then do the right thing with it, which would be to let it go back to where it came from, which is probably not around here. So it probably won't happen, but if it did, that's a good idea. Okay, so with these thoughts that are roaming around, what do you need to do? Take it captive, hold it, confine it. When you catch yourself, ask God to show you when there's thoughts which are not aligned to his. I've been doing that this week since God showed me this. And even this morning, I was thinking, oh no, I don't like being up here. I don't find it very natural. You're talking for half an hour and no one's talking back to you. So I don't find it a very natural place to be. So I was thinking, oh no, not again. But I thought, no, I can't think like that. I'm going to think according to God. What did he say? And as we'll see later, he says that he's determined the times and places for us. So I thought, fine, he's determined. I'm going to be at this place at this time. He's given me what to say, so I'll trust that he'll help me say it. And then I felt all peaceful. And I don't know is there anyone here that likes doing talks at the front? Like some do. Some love being at the front. I don't. So you feel a bit nervous, yeah, kind of anxious the whole day. You can't sleep before. But that's not me. Yeah. So this morning I was getting to feel like that. And then I took God's thoughts, took this thought captive, and I felt better. So once you're taking the thought and deciding, is it in line with what God said or is it contrary? And then you can either throw it out or keep it. You make it obedient to obedient to Christ, to his ways, to his thoughts. Okay, so be asking God, to the Holy Spirit, to show you when you're thinking things. Another thing, someone said something to me, someone who I knew loves me, but I didn't quite get what they said. I found it quite offensive, so I began thinking what I was going to say back. Do you ever do that? No? Yeah, I think I do. And then within that, and I felt bad. It didn't feel nice. And then God showed me. And I thought, okay, I'll take that captive. And as I thought about it, I thought, they may not have meant it in that way. And anyway, they love me. So do they want to harm me? And even if they did in that moment, what does God say? Turn the other cheek. Okay, tell me something bad again. But I felt better by stopping these thoughts I had. So it helped me. So it was a good thing. Okay, we go to the next slide. One more verse from the Bible telling us about our thoughts. This verse, Romans 12:12, makes it very clear which track, God's track or the other track, we should be on. It says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So to pause there, we can be transformed. We're not too old. That's good news, right? So we might be stuck in our ways, but we can be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. You can change the way you think, what you believe to be in accordance with what God says, and there will be change, there will be differences, which will have impacts on your life and other people's lives. And then to carry on, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. We want to do God's will, right? We know that that's a perfect will, as it's about to say. So by being transformed, by changing our thinking, we'll be on God's track. And it says, to approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That sounds like a good package to me, yeah? You want to be on that track? On God's track? You want your thoughts to be aligned with God's? You up for that? Good stuff. Okay, so we'll go to the next slide, please. Thank you. Okay, so we've seen how this can affect your own lives. And we've also seen how culture can affect you. Culture can influence you, but you also influence culture. We're not islands. No man is an island. Okay, so great if your life is brilliant. I don't know if your life is great or not, but as we've seen, your life can be impacted. But then further afield, we're called to be salt and light, aren't we? Yes? Good. Okay, so how is Woodside Park? How's it doing? How's North Finchley? How's London? How's the UK? Any thoughts on that? Huh? Hot. Okay, apart from hot. Well, my views on it, I mean, being abroad, as I've said, you can see things from a different perspective. And seeing the news about the UK from abroad, every day it's always stabbings, shootings. They're getting younger and younger. Youth killing other young people. Brothers killing their sisters, cutting out their bodies, putting them in rivers. Maybe that's not normal and common, but it's happening. Children living without parents, without two parents, or struggling without having the love that they need. Single parents struggling. The riots. What was happening there? I mean, seeing it from abroad, I was like, they're just tearing apart my country. They're literally burning it down. And I was in tears. I don't know how you felt being here, but for me, being abroad, I was devastated. And it was God was already beginning to call me home, so I think that was part of it. But I was on my knees crying my eyes out. This makes me well up a bit. But I thought, what's going on? How have people got to that point, to those actions? And we can say, oh, the youth of today. The youth of today are a product of something else. They weren't just born this way. And we need to help them. And we need to be teaching them, instructing them in these ways. Because it's not just us. It's our country. It's other people. Like we've heard, going on mission helps you, I think Bianca was saying, to learn about other people. We need to be thinking about other people. So it's so important that we get God's word, that it's full, that it's within us, and that it's coming out of us, and that we share it. Because it will affect the nation. Sometimes you think, well, my life doesn't really affect much. It does. We'll go to the next slide. Links into the Great Commission. I've highlighted or put in italics, great, because it is seriously great. Okay, so we're told to go and to make other disciples. And I just want to highlight the last part, which says, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So he's telling us to go and teach these ways. Teach them so that they know them, they're in their heart, they come out of their mouths, they affect their actions. And that's maybe one day we could get Britain back to, as I said before, what would Britain look like if everyone thought like this? Well, how are they going to think like this if we don't teach them this? Yeah? You agree? Oh, great. Okay, I'll move on again. Before I read that, you are in the right place. You're in the right place to learn about God, to know him better. Oh, I just add to that. When I got to Bolivia, I didn't know why I was going to go. God said go, and I went. And when I got there, he said to me, you're in Bolivia primarily to know me better. And me, according to my English thinking, I didn't reply, but I just thought, whatever. Like, how am I going to write to my supporters and say, well, thanks for working hard and paying for my life. I'm getting to know God better, and it's great. So I just thought, no, I've got to find, you've sent me here for something to do. What am I going to do? I have to write in my newsletters, like a missionary does, that I saved 1,000 people and I fed 1,000 children and this stuff. And I couldn't even speak the language. So my identity was shot to pieces and was built up again, but more according to this rather than my ways. And God was right. I was there to know him better. And as I got to know him better and seek him, he told me exactly what to do. Again, I didn't know because it's Bolivian. I didn't understand the culture and stuff. He told me what to do, and it's been amazing. So I'll just read this. This is Acts 17, 26 to 27. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So it's not by default that you're in the UK. Right? We're talking about mission tonight, and we've heard a lot about mission abroad. Are you excited about how God is using people from St. Bees across the world? It's great, isn't it? And how he's using you guys here, and we've got Bianca going off to somewhere else in the UK. God is at work in this nation, in this world. I know it doesn't seem like it, maybe when we look, but he's there, and that's exciting. And he's placed you exactly where he wants you to be. He's put you here so that you may seek him and know him better, so you may know his word, and that would affect your life and this nation. However, it says times and places. He can change the place in different times. Hence, he'll send people to different places. He sent me to Bolivia for 5 years, and now it's time for me to be back in the UK. When I first felt God might be calling me to Bolivia, I thought, well, no, he knows I can't learn Spanish, so it couldn't be God. But he kept talking, and one time Margaret Peach said to me, speak to Kerry Stillman, because she was back from Cameroon. So I said to Kerry, I'm having these random thoughts about Bolivia. And she said to me, they're not random thoughts. We don't get random thoughts about countries. That's God. So I thought, okay. And it was God. She was right. That's Kerry. So if you're wondering, if you've got some country in your mind, in your heart, if you're not sure, speak to MTF. Kerry then told me to speak with MTF and have a VAP. Do you know what a VAP is? It's a vocational assessment panel. Is that right? Yeah, good, okay. And that's basically a conversation with a few people about your calling. And I thought you had to be, you know what you're doing to do that. But she said, no, that helps you to discover and discern if that's right. So I had one of those. And when I heard what I was saying, I was like, well, that's obvious. You need to get on a plane. And basically, that's what they said to me as well. So off I went. Still didn't have all the questions answered, but it was clear, so I went. I went for 5.5 years. I didn't know if it'd be life, but God brought me back here. Kerry's been out for a lot longer, and it can be a lot shorter. We've heard about short-term mission between like a week and a year. So I'm just going to talk about my little views on that. So if we go to the next slide. Oh, that's me. Sometimes, as I've said, you know, in our culture, it's hard to discern what's culture, what's gospel, and it's to see the wood from the trees, right? This morning I saw Hedgen Slater from our church outside, asked how she was, and she'd just been to Africa. And I was like, oh, how's that? She'd been with her husband for work. And she said it was great. It just helped me see, to get away and help me see better. And I thought, great, because that's what I wanted to say tonight. I don't know if you can tell where I am. Looking so cool. No, you can't tell from looking at that tree? That's in the Amazon jungle. In Bolivia. It's an absolutely massive tree. So you can't quite tell the extent to how big the rainforest is by looking at that photo, can you? You can't really see everything. Also, it's such a massive tree, you'll be distracted just by this one tree. And I think sometimes our life's a bit like that. Our life is like this big tree. It's all about our life, you know? And sometimes we just need to get out, yeah, to be able to see things differently, to be able to see God differently, ourselves differently, and other people. And that's what Kerry and Bianca have said as well. If we go to the next slide, it's not a great photo, but that's from the plane. So you can see a different perspective. That tree was just one of those tiny little dots. Doesn't seem so big now, does it? So sometimes we need to get out to see the wood from the trees. So we go to the next, I think it's the last slide. Just a few thoughts about short-term mission. About 10 years ago, when I was in Pip and Jay in Bristol, Clive Calver said that short-term mission is about the people that go, not about the people you're serving. And people were a bit like, oh, how can you say that? But I agree. As we just said, God places us in different places, different times, that we may seek him. Like God said to me, you're here primarily to know me better, not to save the world, to know me. And through doing that, as we've seen, that will affect our beliefs, our actions, our habits, our character, and that will shape us and the nation and the world. We can change the world together. So it is about us going. What we can learn about God, and as Bianca and everyone's shared already, how it's impacted their lives, you get this perspective. Also, it's not an isolated event. When you understand that it's to go and get perspective, you will impact that country. I'll explain that in a moment. But it's not an isolated event. Sometimes when people go, they find it hard coming back because they think, oh, in Africa or in Bolivia or wherever, and they often talk a lot about it. And sometimes they talk negatively about the UK. They find it hard to adjust here. But if you know that you're getting a different perspective on God, on yourself, and even where you live, that can impact you to impact where you are long term. So going to that country can impact you, can impact your home country, your home city. It complements long-term work. Some people question, what's the point in short-termers? There has been a lot of debate about that. I didn't include any quotes. But as Kerry said, I think they said, Bianca went out and worked alongside Kerry. And Kerry's explained how it's great to have short-termers to come and support in different ways. Normally, short-termers are working alongside missionaries or churches or Christians who are there for the long term. So these short-termers, they don't have to go to save the world. They can have their impact, as Kerry said, on missionaries, also on with relationships, also maybe building something which others couldn't build. There will be those impacts, but the biggest impact will be on yourself. The benefit of going alongside long-termers is that long-term structure is there, the relationships through which they can share the gospel. As Kerry said, with one lady, it's taken, how long was it, months, years? Years. So you can benefit the work that's going on over years by going for a short time. And a big one, it's not just for young people. Okay, right? Yeah, because we often see teens going like, yeah, your oldies can do it too. I'm just kidding. We see teams of young groups come in and talking at the front, I'm going here, and we think it's kind of a young person's thing. But it's for anyone, any age. We've seen the opportunities with the Greys in Thailand. That's not my phone. Got one of those new iPhones. I wouldn't recognize their ringtone. So there are plenty of opportunities, any age, because as we said, we can get stuck in our ways, yeah? So if you're older and fancy changing ways, you can go as well. Investing in you. Some people say that it's so expensive, what's the point? You can send that money out to the long-termers, they can do it. Well, it's investing in a different thing. As I've said, it's investing in you. We sang something about how we're God's desire or something. I can't remember exactly what it was. But know that you are God's desire, and his mission is still you. He's still working on you and in you. And he wants you to seek him, and he wants you to know him better. So for him, it is an investment. And God, for me, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Yeah. So if you give money for short-term mission, it doesn't mean God hasn't got enough for the other mission. It's not taking from one to the other. If you're concerned about that, you could have a balanced portfolio of your giving, some to long-term and a bit to short-term. But for the short-termers, it is a costly investment and also resources on the field, but it is to invest in you, and it will have this impact that I've just explained earlier. So if you're thinking of short-term mission, as Kerry told me, talk with MTF. You're really lucky, really blessed, I should say, here at St. Bees to have Mission Task Force, because a lot of missionaries I've met don't have churches who have support like Mission Task Force who can help you through this stuff. So do make most of them. If you don't know Jess, her details are up there, or talk to me and Kerry, or I think at the back, as Ryan said, go and listen over there. And again, if you have random thoughts, which aren't random, about your country, talk to them as well. So I'm going to wrap up there, and we'll hand over to Henry. Do we get the worship team back up? How does it?
Yep.
Get them back up. And the ministry team, if they could come forward too. I don't know what God's doing in you at the moment, and we'll see what Henry shares, but if you want more of God for yourself or for your nation, if you want more understanding of him, if you want to commit to him and say that you want your thoughts to be along, as you did say earlier, yeah, when I asked if you want to be on his track, if you want that, then do come forward and we'll pray for you, stand with you in seeking that and be intentional in that.
Great, yeah. I think that God wants to minister to people who really desire that they could take their thoughts captive. And maybe that's something that you've allowed to run away with itself, and you want to get back to taking those thoughts captive. And Chris, I think have you got any words? Yeah, can we share what you've got as well? Why don't we all stand? Chris, what have you got?
Love unfailing, overtaking my heart. You take me in, finding peace again. Fear is lost in all you are. Cause I would give the world to tell your story. Cause 'Cause I know that you called me. I know that you called me. I've lost myself for good within your promise. I won't hide it. I won't hide it. And Jesus, I believe in you, and I would go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth, for you alone are the Son of God. All the world will see that you are God, that you are God. And Jesus, I believe in you, and I would go to the ends of the earth, ends of the earth, for you alone are the Son of God. All the world will see that you are God, that you are God. Love unfailing, overtaking my heart, you take me. Finding peace again, fear is lost, and all you are. I would give the world to tell your story, 'cause I know that you call, I know that you call.
Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts.